Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. This week, I've been finding out more about the Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse in Dunfanaghy, which has won a string of awards and which announced recently that its Irish scone mix has been one of the products selected for this year's Grow with Aldi initiative, which champions emerging Irish food producers, giving them the chance to have their products stocked nationwide. Well, to find out more about her business, her previous employment, how it all started, the range of products and much more, I made the trip to Dunfanaghy to visit Sian McCann, the owner-founder, baker and managing director of Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse. I began by asking her to tell me about the process that led to the selection of her Irish scone mix to go on sale in Aldi stores shortly.
Well, we put forward our Irish scone mix this year, and it's very easy to make, and I'm very keen to encourage people to bake at home. So I've been playing with the air fryer, and you can also make them in the air fryer, so that's quite good fun. So we're really looking forward to, they go on sale on the 11th of September. So
now let's just go back in time a little bit. How did you get involved in baking? And before we actually started this interview, you were telling me about previous areas of employment, so maybe you can touch on them as well.
Okay, I'm actually an administrator, and I started off working in the health service, and when we moved to Donegal, I worked for DLDC as their finance and admin officer, which was great experience, great company to work for. And then I moved closer to home and worked in the workhouse in Dunfanaghy. And again, great experience. Every day was different. And they had a little coffee shop, and I started making the scones and making bread and soup and just absolutely loved it. So I was with them for about 9 years, and then I opened my bakery in Dunfanaghy in 2017. And we did cakes and breads and all sorts of things. So it was lovely. It was a really nice, it was very small, but we did a big range of products.
So opening the bakery, that was a big step for you, a big decision. No doubt it required a bit of investment. There was a risk there. What were your expectations at the beginning?
Well, I did a lot of research, so I signed up with the County Enterprise Board in Letterkenny, and they were fantastic support, and I got a grant from them to open up. And it was a risk, but I've always wanted to work for myself, and I suppose because I have the finance and admin background, I was able to kind of manage the cash flow and everything, which is important for all small businesses. And we discovered very quickly after the first season that when September comes, business falls off dramatically. So we signed up again with the County Enterprise Board and did an innovation course. And we looked, a lot of people were asking for us to pack up the breads to take back to Scotland and England. So we thought, well, wonder what we could do to help people make the breads at home. So that's when we came up with the idea of the bread mixes. And then we did the Food Academy with Super Value, and that was very interesting. We learned a lot from James Burke, who was running the scheme at the time. So it was great.
And when the bakery first opened and the shop there, what was the range of products like?
I did a lot of small cakes and lots of scones. I kind of baked what I liked, I have to be honest. lots of little tray bakes and breads. What else did we do? We had things like dough. I bought in some small bits like donuts because I didn't have a deep fat fryer. But if somebody came in and asked for something, we would look if we could do it. So we had quite a big range for such a small shop. And we started doing coffee as well. So people were able to come in, get a coffee and a bun and sit outside and relax. So, yeah, it was a nice atmosphere.
And the feedback from early on, very positive. That must have given you encouragement.
Oh, very much so. I had the loveliest customers, I really did. And it was always lovely because every year, you know, kids would come in and get their birthday cakes. And then the following year, they'd be back on holiday and they'd come in, they'd be a foot taller, you know. So it was always lovely. But yeah, I really enjoyed the customers. I enjoyed the experience of the bakery, but of course, then COVID came along. So now everything changed.
Yeah. So during those COVID times, how did you have to adjust? What was your thinking?
We decided to, I built a website, I built a Shopify website, and we started pushing the mixes online and really focused on the bread mixes because there wasn't a market to for the bakery to even open for people to call in and collect. It just wasn't suitable. And we had decided to get bigger premises and that had actually found somewhere and we're going to open a coffee shop. But really, we decided that bigger wasn't better. And we decided that we would close the shop after COVID and focus full time on the bread mixes. And I have to say, I don't regret it because I got a much better life balance. You know, I got to spend time with my parents. I've got more time with my kids. And I enjoy my work. So, yeah, it was a good move.
Now, tell us a little bit about some of the recipes and the family background. Some of these were handed down and tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, I was telling you my mum passed away last year and I've been doing a little bit of family research and just talking to my mum's cousin, Cousin Wilma, and discovered that my great-grandfather was actually a baker in Cushendall, and I had never realised this. But I come from a long line of bakers. My granny, my great-auntie Maisie, my mum was a fab baker. She's called Granny Bun. It's just something we've always done. So we all have our recipes, and yeah, they're special. They are. You should, and I think people should get them from their grannies and their granddads, and you know, hold on to them. They are very valuable. Yeah.
So going back to going online, your first orders online, were they local people, and how soon was it before you sort of started to really export?
Well, we actually had a lot of customers from the UK, so we had a lot of regular customers that ordered online, but we also had people from Belfast ordering as well. So we had great support, but then Brexit kind of came online and that kind of affected the sales that way. But we went with a company called Bain, who actually export our mixes to the UK now. We've been doing that with them for, I think, the last 4 years now. And we're going to be in Amazon.ie, but we're also with, because I had really come up with the idea to export to the diaspora. And of course, one of the big markets is America. So I've been to Philadelphia a couple of times to see if we could get into the market there. And it's something I'd be really, really keen to do. So at the minute, we're not set up for it. We need to get FDA approval and it's quite a big job. So we're exporting our mixes to America and Australia and everywhere through All Ireland Foods. They have an amazing shop for Irish produce and it goes all over the world. So we're with them now.
So tell me about the actual bread mixes and what are the most popular ones and just the process of you actually making them.
Okay, so, well, we have five. The newest one is potato bread mix and it's the only one on the market, would you believe it? So it's like a traditional fudge and you make it in the pan. We try to make the mixes as easy as possible for people to make. And I try to give a lot of alternatives. So I don't like the idea of people having to go out and buy extra ingredients. And there's nothing more annoying than going to the fridge to make something and not having an egg or not having buttermilk. So I give alternatives. So all of the mixes you can make with plant alternatives. And, you know, if you don't have an egg for the wheaten bread, then you can use a teaspoonful of oil. So I try and put all of that in the back of the pack. We give really easy to follow instructions. I'm working on making little reels to help people to show them how to make the mixes and things, but they're very straightforward. And for me, the key thing is that if you go to the effort and bother of making something, it has to taste good. And they do. They taste really good.
So when you were doing the first few products, what size was it that you were going to decide on for the actual mixes? Was that a big issue or not?
I played around with the size just and I think a pound. We decided to go with a pound loaf because that sort of suits small families, and then for bigger families, well, you could always use two packs. So we went for a pound loaf. The scones, you get 6 to 8 scones, and with the potato bread again, you get, I think it's 8 slices of potato bread. But it did take months of trying out different recipes and getting family and friends to taste them and tweaking them and just trying to make them as simple as and tasty as possible and as faithful to the recipes that we had, because they have to be affordable as well.
So you said 5 sort of key products.
Yes, so we have potato bread, soda bread, stout bread, the scone mix obviously, and the wheaten bread. So they're all good Irish breads. Everybody loves.
Now, the actual ingredients and purchasing them, do you have certain suppliers? Have you changed that? Was there a lot of research as to where you were sourcing the materials?
Yeah, we definitely looked into that, and we tried a variety of flours, and we have 2 or 3 suppliers that we use, and I'm very conscious of checking prices, and because of the way everything's gone up in price, just to try and keep our retail price as low as possible. And I have to say that our suppliers work with us and are very supportive.
Yeah. And in recent times, most products have gone up a lot in price. Have you experienced that as well?
Yeah, we've had to put our mixes up a little bit, but we've tried to keep it as low as possible. And I've shopped around to get the cheapest haulage and the cheapest postage. And you're constantly looking at changing your electricity and just trying to find ways that you can keep the cost down, because there's no point in making the best bread mix in the world if nobody can afford to buy it, you know. Yeah.
Now, the actual process, tell me a little bit about sort of how many, what size is a batch at a time are you making? How many bags are you filling, that sort of thing?
Well, would you believe I actually do it all by hand? So every bag is individually weighed. So we have our measurements, obviously, for, you know, say the stout bread, there's 5 ingredients. So we weigh in the salt and the sugar and the oats and everything in individually into each bag, and it's all mixed up. I don't like the idea of doing a big batch and then dividing it up in case the quality isn't as good. So it is very labour intensive, but we're an artisan bakery, so I want to make sure every pack is as good as every other pack. And we do have checks to make sure that we're, you know, everything weighs the correct weight, and we check it and recheck it. So.
Tell me a little bit about the packaging. That's very important, and branding and logos and even the typeface and things like that. Again, it's something that you've probably, what you have now, is it different from what you started off with?
We started off with tubs because we were going for the gift market, but we very quickly realised that there was a market in retail for the local shops, and we went from tubs excuse me, to pouches. Again, we got help from the County Enterprise Board, and they helped you with knowing the law around packaging and what you should watch out for. And then we're very keen to use local people, so we went to a designer, Fiona, on the Dot Marketing, and she was absolutely amazing. So she helped us design. We had an idea of what we wanted, we're very, very pleased with the packaging. We did start off with ordinary packaging, but as we've moved on, we've moved over to 100% recyclable. So we like to say we're no mess, no fuss, and now we're no waste as well. So.
And what about red tape and health and safety and all the various requirements? Are there a lot of hoops you have to go through?
Oh yeah, there are. There are lots. But I found the environmental health officer, when we were opening the bakery, they came out and talked to us about what we needed to do and worked with us so that when we opened the bakery, we knew we had everything right. I mean, the red tape is there for a reason, and it's to protect us and the consumer. So it's all very straightforward, and you just need to stick to it, and you need to know that if God forbid, that you had a recall on a bag of flour, I would know exactly where the flour had gone and I would be able to recall it. So it's there for a reason. And again, there's lots of training out there for people, and the county enterprise, food safety, the environmental health officer, they're all there to help and support. They want you to do a good job too.
So where does all the actual work take place? It's not here as we're sitting in the kitchen.
No, I have a kitchen in the garden, so it all happens there. It's been very carefully planned out so that we have a production line, and it's lovely. I've got a really nice view too. Yeah. I'm going to show it to you.
And indeed, she did show me around, and I saw firsthand where all the products are made and packed. And oh, what a view there was there too. So we're now here in the, I suppose we'll call it the epicenter of where it all happens, with all the various ingredients and some of the finished product here. So this is where you spend many hours.
It is indeed, yeah. So I have a little production line, and basically I weigh out all the ingredients. I mix it up and I pop it into the bags, and then the bags are moved around onto a different table and they wait to be sealed. And then I have a foot operated sealer, so I seal all the bags to make sure that none of the ingredients can get out and that they're safe, I suppose, and secure. And then we get them boxed up and labelled and ready for shipping.
And for the items that are ordered online, do you use a particular courier, or do you use on post, or what way are they sent out?
I use two, actually. I use on post. They have the lovely little envelopes now, which makes it a wee bit cheaper. But for the larger boxes, you know, when I'm sending out maybe 20 or 30 kilos at a time, I take that to the postal store in Letterkenny. So it's really just to try and make it as cheap as possible for the consumer.
And what countries are you sending stuff to at the moment?
Well, I'm mainly doing just Ireland. So customers are buying from Amazon.co.uk and then All Ireland Foods. They, you know, they ship all over the world.
And a lot of the products, we're looking here at the Irish scone mix. Oh, scone or scone?
I say scone.
Right. We'll let the listeners decide. the Irish scone mix, a very popular gift, particularly amongst tourists.
Yes, yeah. All the mixes are 300 grams or less. So it's a really nice little gift just to take home. And we all, Irish, love our breads, you know, so it's a great wee gift to take somebody.
Worth mentioning the view as you're doing your work. You're looking out, we can see the Atlantic Ocean and Inishbofin, what else?
Yeah, the back of Mararty, it's just beautiful. Yeah, and I've got a bird box, I can watch the birds as well, so happy as.
And what about your own work-life balance? Do you try and work certain hours and certain days, and is it quite regimented, or does it vary a lot?
Every day is different, yeah, which I quite like. We've been really busy of late. The summer has been crazy. We got into the National Trust in Northern Ireland, which we're absolutely delighted about. We've obviously got the Aldi order. We work with a number of hamper companies, so we've had a big couple of big hamper companies order this year as well. So it's actually, the summer has been basically 7 days a week. Mm. And when you're self-employed and it's your own business, you put your heart and soul into it. So you need to love it. And we're very lucky. I'm very appreciative of the business, so happy to do it, yeah.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore, and my guest this week, Shan McCann, of the award-winning Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse in Dunfanaghy. So coffee shops, bakeries in places like Dunfanaghy, yes, very, very seasonal. The fact that you're online probably spreads it out a little bit more. But at the same time, there's probably still peak times for you. Like, is Christmas a particularly busy time?
Yes, we do up little gift packs, and I also, well, my mother always made jam, so I make jam. We have fruit bushes in the garden, so it's all little small batches that we sell locally, but we would do those up along with the mixes, and we do little gift packs of mixing bowls and jam and the mixes and wooden spoon. And so it's we try and fill in those quiet times, and then obviously at Christmas it's busy again and we have all the packs ready to go. But there, I suppose January and February would probably be the quietest times for us, and then you get caught up with all the paperwork. There's always something to be done, you know.
So let's go back to Aldi. How was it that you got in contact with them in the very first place? Because you have developed a relationship with them over a number of years.
So we applied for the Aldi Grow programme, which is a fantastic event. You get to meet other producers, and this time we had to go down to Naas to their headquarters, and you were interviewed. If your application was successful, you were interviewed, and then they brought you back and explained the whole process, and then we were invited down. And we did a tasting session with some consumer judges, and then they had invited bloggers and food writers and journalists. So you were able to talk all day about your favourite, you know, your favourite project, which is obviously for me is the Irish scone mix. So it was great, and it was lovely to meet all the producers as well.
And what way does it work now when they're stocking your products? Is it a selection of shops in a particular region, or is it the whole country, or what way do they kind of scale it up?
It's fantastic, because they'll talk to you. If you're a small producer, they'll talk to you about, you know, what can you produce. They don't want to give you a massive order that you can't meet. So everybody is in the 164 stores nationally across Ireland. And it's wonderful, because you only have to ship to their distribution points. So they have one in Naas and one in Mitchellstown, which is fantastic. You load up the pallets and away they go, and you know, they do the rest. They ship it out to all the stores. So they're very supportive of the producers, and I think they want to showcase small producers. Yesterday was amazing, the number of and the variety of producers that they had there from Northern Ireland as well as from the South.
And when it comes to scaling up your business, if you compare with what you have now, what you're putting out, say, to pre-COVID times, like what sort of a multiple of it is it now?
Oh, my mind's just gone blank there. We're much bigger than we were before. The next stage would be to get in, machines to help with the weighing of everything. But the alternative is to outsource production, which is probably a better alternative, because I'm not very mechanical, so I don't really want to be working with machine. I don't mind a good mixer now, but I don't think I could be dealing with machinery. But we can outsource. There's some very good mills. We've been to visit one in Ashburn, and was very impressed, and they can do a ton at a time. Now they do big batch mixing, but they have the everything, you know, down to a T, and absolutely spotless. I've never seen anything like it. It was very impressive.
And from your own point of view and ambition, on one hand, you know, the sky's the limit, but you can lose control over things. Like, so how do you get that sort of balance right? Because I suppose you don't want to outsource too much stuff.
Yeah, I we're making the Aldi order ourselves. I mean, that's quite a big job, but I just wanted to do it myself. I'm not sure about outsourcing. I like the size the bakery is now. It's manageable, and I've got time to do other things, like I'm offering cookery classes, which are great fun. I did quite a few with the Mary from Dunloe Festival. I'm working with Joanne Butler from Organic Gardens, and she's doing the gardening bit, and I'm showing you how to use all the vegetables and fruit. So I've got time to be creative, you know. I think if I go much bigger, then I lose that chance to be able to say yes to everything, rather than no, I've got to work, you know.
And How much of the work are you doing on your own, or are there other people involved, or can you bring in people?
Yeah, I bring in people when I've got a big order. I've got people I can call on that will come in and do a few hours at a time, and we can work around everybody's schedule. And I have a very supportive family, so my daughter's helped. My daughter in Brisbane does all my social media for me. I send her the pictures and the videos, and she works her magic. And my youngest daughter is, you know, she's been helping out sealing bags and packing boxes. And, of course, my husband builds the pallets for me. So it's really, when they say a family business, it's really a family business.
And the website is so important for getting the word out there and for people to place orders. Did that evolve over a period of time? Was there a lot of thought put into that?
Oh, yes. We started with a Shopify that I built myself, and that was great experience. And then we went for a professional with Meenit. It's a local, again, a local Donegal company, and they've been super. And they give you the training to be able to update it and look after it yourself so you can post articles and blogs and things. So I've really enjoyed that, but then I also have the security of knowing that they're looking after the maintenance, and that if people are paying with credit cards, that's all secure and everything's safe. So I think you need to know when to ask for professional support, and that's what they give me. But yeah, I really like the website. It's fairly straightforward, and yeah, it's good.
Now, talking of the website, I notice you have a frequently asked questions section, which I read myself, and very, very helpful for people. And we touched on it earlier. No, vegan friendly as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's such a growing market. I think it's so important that the bread still has to taste good. So I did a lot of experimenting, and they all work with rice milk, soy milk. You know, you can use plant alternatives. If there's an egg in the recipe, you just use a teaspoonful of oil. There's margarine, you know, you've got vegan alternatives. And we've tried them all out, and, you know, the texture really doesn't change that much at all, and they're very tasty. So, yeah, we're happy with the alternatives that we've recommended. And again, as I was saying, I don't want people to have to go out and buy special ingredients to make the mix. So, you know, you can use normal milk, or you can make buttermilk by adding lemon juice to ordinary milk. So there's lots of alternatives.
Now, what about the company name? Where did that all come from? Because it's not something that would have rolled immediately off the top of the head.
Yeah. Well, we decided to call it Wild Fuchsia, and it's registered as Wild Fuchsia Limited. But when we finally got premises, we discovered in the little square in Dunfanaghy, in the little courtyard, there was this little tiny derelict building, and we discovered it was the old bakehouse, and that's where everybody in Dunfanaghy used to go and get their bread. So that's why we changed it to Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse. And I love fuchsia. That was one of the reasons we picked it. And then I discovered it's in Irish, it's George A., which is God's Tears, which is just so pretty. So yeah, I love the name. Yeah. So very happy. Yeah. Right.
And over the years, you've won a number of awards, Blas na Héireann, the Great Taste Awards. So they're great for the whole promotion of the business, and people will look and they'll be familiar with the labels. And so that helps sales.
Yes, yes, it does. You know, it really gives people confidence that they're going to get a good quality product. So our potato bread has a bronze with Blas na Héireann. The stout has a silver, and we've just got through to the finals of Blas na Héireann with our soda breads. So we try and pick one each year to, you know, to put in. And we've got three Great Taste Awards. My sticky gingerbread, which isn't a mix because nobody would buy it if they knew all the gorgeous ingredients. It's butter and sugar and syrup. It is so bad for you, but it's delicious. So we put that in as a cake. And then our two mixes, the wheaten bread and the soda bread, both got 2 stars. So yeah, we're thrilled with that.
Now, the process, if I go out and I buy one of the mixes, start to finish, the timeline, how long is it going to take for somebody to take it out of the packet, follow the instructions, and get it onto the table?
Well, the The wheaten bread takes 50 to 60 minutes to bake. It takes 1 minute to make. Literally, you're pouring it into the bowl, you're mixing it to make sure all the dry ingredients are nicely mixed, and you're adding in an egg and the buttermilk. You stir it and you pop it in your tin. Couldn't be any easier. Soda bread is just buttermilk. Soda bread's great fun. You can add lots of different things to it. So if you were having smoked salmon, you could add in fennel seeds to it. It goes beautifully. If you're having Spanish, you could add in chorizo into the dough. Sun-dried tomatoes. In one of the classes in Mary from Dunlow, we added in marshmallows and cranberries. You can just go mental with it. It's lovely. So you can have lots of fun with it. But they're all very quick and easy to make. Like scones I just made earlier, that was start to finish 20 minutes in the air fryer.
Now, on the website also, you do ask people if they want to send in questions or things like that. They might have queries. Any particular ones stand out? Have people asked you anything that you followed up on and maybe altered?
I get questions about equipment quite a lot. So baking parchment. If you don't get a waxy one, it can stick to your bread, and it's happened to me. I bought liners for tins to save time, and then when the bread's baked, it doesn't peel off. So you need to find a really good baking parchment that doesn't stick and use that. So I had one customer that was very disappointed, so yeah, I had to explain you need a really good baking parchment. But I quite often get people emailing me asking me, can they use alternatives, or what temperature. Quite a lot of Americans would contact me about they only use cups. So I think I have that on the website as well, so giving them the cup measurements.
And needless to say, from an environmental point of view, you're very conscious about what you do. You've got your own composting bin out there. So you're maximising what you can do with the waste.
Yes, so all our packaging is recyclable, and I recycle all the packaging that obviously our flour comes into. It all goes into the recycling. If I'm baking, all our waste goes into the compost bins. Yeah, we just do as much as we can. Even if I'm making jellies, the pulp that's left over from the fruit, I dry that out and I put it in fat balls for the birds at Christmas. So try and, you know, use as much as I can and don't waste anything.
So as things stand at the moment, where are your products available?
So they're available in a lot of independent stores in and around Donegal. We're in the National Trust in Northern Ireland. We're on amazon.co.uk. We're going into amazon.ie. We're in Super Value up the West Coast and in Donegal. We're going to be in Aldi, which we're delighted about. I can't think of anywhere else.
Well, that's quite a few. The online side of things, does it take up a lot of time having to check and what orders are coming in? And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's all automated. So I get an email and pack everything up. We have lovely gift boxes and we make sure it looks pretty. And we always put in a little compliment slip thanking people for ordering from us, because, again, you know, shopping local and supporting small businesses, it means a huge amount. So we like to thank our customers, and we really appreciate the business.
And here in Donegal, we're very fortunate that there are a lot of artisan producers. The whole Food Coast initiative has really taken off, and many people are probably not fully aware just how much there is going on locally, and there's a great networking between people like yourself.
Yes, I'm a member of the Food Coast Donegal, and it is. We meet regularly, and it's a great support. You know, we share information and support each other, and there's a big conference coming up with TBEX coming to Donegal, when we're doing a tour and tastings and things. But we're really keen to get Donegal on the map for food, because there is so much here. You know, fantastic restaurants, fantastic producers, hotels. you know, we have it all. We just need to let people know about it.
And for anybody listening in who maybe has an interest in baking and perhaps would like to open up their own business and go down that line, what would your words of wisdom be?
I would do your research and talk to your county enterprise board and get all your ducks in a row. You know, you need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to manage your cash flow and be realistic. That's what I would say. And be sure that you get that balance. You don't want to be working 24/7.
And a lot of hard work, but rewarding. And if it's something you really like, well, isn't that great?
Yeah, I love it. I love being able to get out there and talk to foodies about bread and swap recipes. And yeah, I just feel very blessed and fortunate to love what I do.
Well, my thanks to this week's guest, Shan McCann of the Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse in Dunfanaghy. Well, that's it for another edition. Many thanks for tuning in our way, whether you're listening to this on the radio, on the internet, or on a podcast. My name is Chris Ashmore, and this is Business Matters on Highland Radio. May I conclude by wishing you a healthy, happy, and profitable week ahead. Goodbye.